This is The State of Things. I'm Melinda Pencava. No more Tetris, no more Minesweeper. A bill in the North Carolina State Senate would keep state employees from playing computer games on their computers at work. Senator Andrew Brock of Davie County introduced that bill this winter, and he's introduced another bill that would limit state employees' internet access at work. We spoke to Senator Brock earlier and asked about those proposed bills.
Well, actually, studies that I read, different places, trade magazines, technical magazines, speaking of the work loss due to people playing games and surfing the internet during their work hours, non-related to their work. And it was just staggering, the amount of money that was being lost, or productivity being lost, due to just people surfing the internet.
What were some of those numbers? I mean, how many hours was it estimating people were spending online or playing games?
They were estimating anywhere from, 10 minutes to an hour or 2 hours. Well, if you think of if it's 10 minutes a day, think of a company or a department, like in state government, let's say in this one office you have 20 people, that's 200 minutes a day. Of lost productivity. I coupled that with a whole bunch of other departments and I was working on a figure the other day about actual productivity loss and, basically loss of wages, basically paying people not to work figured at $20 an hour. And you were looking at over $100 million in the state budget.
And what trade magazines were these figures in?
This was it was for IT professionals. It was, I'm trying to think of the name of it off the top of my head, or if I've read different ones, and from different areas with different projections, and I was reading one today from London, which had a $14 billion loss impact to the British economy. The numbers in United States range anywhere around 75 to close to $100 billion worth of lost productivity.
Were you seeing any evidence yourself, because you're in Raleigh very often as a state legislator, were you seeing evidence of state employees? First of all, playing computer games.
Well, there was Tony Rand, on the very first day of session this year, said that he did not want laptops in the Senate, that he did not want people playing solitaire on the floor of the Senate. Now, whether that was in the General Assembly, people playing solitaire, but also other people have come up to me in other departments and state government saying how people were playing games, playing solitaire, playing free cell, and also going on the internet to play games off the internet, that you would see it. And I had a number of people to call me saying, well, this person plays all the time and that person. And this just allows the IT directors in each department to set specific guidelines of what you can and cannot do on your computer during your work hours.
Now, the other bill that you introduced this past week, this gets at limiting the internet access, not just the games. The games was a separate bill introduced a month or two ago, but
right.
The bill this week would get at internet access. And to quote from part of its title, it gets at state employee access to certain types of internet sites and otherwise restricting state computer use that is not work-related. How would this be implemented, of limiting state employees' access to the internet?
Well, if to limit their work hours, that you can put in different parameters in your web browser about accessing certain web pages. And also you can monitor their web pages. I mean, everything is documented in when you surf the internet on your computer, that they can tell where you're going and where you've been. And it's a good way to measure an employee's performance, if they're not coming up to the requirements of what we're trying to accomplish. We can look at their internet usage and say, well, gosh, you're playing on a poker website, you're day trading. They said that 90% of most people that trade stocks do it during their work hours. They're not paid to be a broker. They're paid to be a employee of the state in a certain department.
Right. I understand that there are already controls, software that you can put in computers, like, say, at your home, if you wanted to keep children in the home from accessing adult websites.
Mm-hmm.
China also restricts access to sites that would have a political nature that might threaten the government in China, as has been reported. So who would be doing the monitoring here? Who would be deciding what the state employee in a particular department can look at?
If the IT director of each department will set the guidelines, you know, if there's a somebody in the Department of Transportation will have certain basically allowed websites to go to that they need to go to, somebody in the Department of Administration, this is what we can go to. But it's really just to let each department the flexibility to set guidelines of what can and cannot be used on their computer, and it leads to a more productive day. I mean, if you're allowed to go to whatever website you want, people may start tend to travel from one to another, and they really start losing time. People are making airline reservations and doing all this other stuff that they don't need to be doing while they're working on the taxpayer's dollar.
Has there been a problem? Do we know whether there's been rampant use of non-work-related internet access by state employees right now?
I had two departments mention this to me, and it wasn't this year, it was last year. And they mentioned to me that they were having, some employees were having trouble with their stuff. It's like, that stuff's not monitored, or, I was like, well, it kind of, but, there's really no strict guidelines. And I'm like, well, this would be a better usage of state resources, state tax dollars. Because also, if you think about it, if they're going to these other websites and they have an internet usage, they're just surfing the internet all day long, that's a lot of tax dollars. Not only you're losing productivity from that worker and you're paying them not to be productive, you're also using the technology, the bandwidth, the internet usage, the computer, the technology to surf the internet. So that's even another added cost, which I think for some of these studies that show the lost productivity has not been calculated into the figure.
One beneficiary of this might be the companies that make the software to restrict the internet access. Do we know how much this would cost the state to put in those tools to monitor the employees' websites?
The ability to monitor a website now is on each and every computer. You have the internet history usage, and for an IT director, which usually administrator, they can basically have free access to all computers on their network. They can check the websites visited of each and every employee. Hmm. Now, to actually implement a full program, which costs money, we haven't taken a look at that. Or do we have somebody in our state government? We have plenty of people that will write a computer program. But I think the actual just monitoring of the usage of an IT person, just to go through and see that John Doe, he's been going to, check the NCAA brackets, booking airline tickets to Hawaii. I mean, you're like, well, wait a minute, he's not using his time wisely. Mm. And we have a lot of projects here in North Carolina. We look at our budget shortfall that we have right now, and I looked at one projection and said it was $100 million, maybe $100 million, but it could be, we could become more efficient and also cost less money. And that's the ideal situation for state government, to be as efficient as possible and deliver the goods and services as quick as possible.
I think some people might be skeptical to some degree by saying, well, does this mean we need more people in IT who are then monitoring many employees' websites? And is that IT person actually the one who would know better than, say, the manager of that department where the employees ought to be going on the web? What is work related?
That you would have of what you can go, what websites you can go to. And really, this, most employees, and I'm saying this is really just to go after a few of the bad apples. This is not that every employee is bad by no stretch of means, but this is to go after the few bad apples. And for, if you know that one person is a good worker, they're very efficient, that they don't spend wasting time on the internet, you don't have to go look at that person. Those are somebody that you may be, maybe a little bit skeptical, or maybe what's their job performance, that, like I said, a couple clicks of the mouse and you could pull up their internet usage history. It's like, well, they're doing this, they're making their telephone calls. You can, all these different things you can monitor somebody's performance with. Mm. And that's what we're trying to do, and hopefully in state government is becoming more performance-based, that we can deliver the goods and services of state government as efficiently as possible.
There is one subsection on this bill about limiting the internet access, and it says a state employee does not have a right to, nor should the employee have an expectation of, privacy when accessing a state agency computer system. I'm just curious, is there currently any privacy there, or at the moment can a person be monitored if they're a state employee?
Yes, I mean, it's on all state computers, that if you're on a state computer, it's not yours, it's the property of the taxpayers. And the
so this bill is just codifying that or making clear?
Right, exactly. And in fact, General Assembly computers are subject to review. All the information is backed up from all of our computers, everybody's computers in the state government. And the auditor could go in and take a look to make sure there's no illegal activities.
Do you access the internet a lot?
Well, actually, yes, especially on research of different bills and information that if we have bill drafting now, and also there's subsections in the bill that will allow people to use the internet that are not primarily their work hours, like their lunch or maybe right before work or right after work if they need to check a telephone number. You know, if they don't have a phone book, they can use it to check the Yellow Pages or anywho website to check out a telephone number.
Senator Andrew Brock is a Republican from Davie County. We spoke with him earlier about the two bills he's introduced in the state Senate that would limit internet access for state employees and also limit their ability to play computer games on state computers. Coming up, we'll continue this conversation on employee productivity. Does solitaire and internet access hurt a company's bottom line? And we're taking your calls. Our number is 1-877-962-9862. All of that ahead. Support for the State of Things comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners who support WUNC. This is The State of Things. I'm Melinda Pencava, and today we're talking about diversions in the workplace. As we heard just a few moments ago, there are two bills in the state Senate right now that could affect what state employees can do with their computers at work. One of these bills would ban computer games. The other bill would limit their access to the internet on state time. Some private companies already do this, perhaps your company. One argument in favor of limiting the internet access and the computer games is that with fewer distractions, such as blogs, eBay, Orbitz, and the games, worker productivity would increase. But others suggest that such limits could be counterproductive. So what's the answer? Should workers have unlimited internet access at work? Joining us for our conversation today are David Russo, who for 18 years worked at SAS Institute in the Triangle. He was vice president of human resources when he left a few years ago. He's now with PeopleClick in Raleigh, and he joins us on the line. Hi there, David Russo.
Hey, how are you today?
Fine. Thanks for being with us. And Kurt Kaufman is with us, too. He is global practice leader for the Gallup Organization and co-author of the book Follow This Path, How the World's Greatest Organizations Drive Growth by Unleashing Human Potential. Thanks for talking with us today, Kurt Kaufman.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Well, I'd like to start off. You've heard the proposal that's being floated in the state Senate here in North Carolina, and this does affect state employees, we should specify here. But we are going to talk about all employees this hour. But what do you think about a proposal that would limit internet access on state employees' computers? David Russo?
Well, putting some type of a system in place that limits internet access, if that is a perceived problem with employee productivity, is sort of like locking the barn door after the horses run away. In my opinion, policies that prohibit internet access rather than systems that are set up to limit the types of internet access that are available for employees on a regular basis is more the way progressive companies with highly developed computer and software systems are going. But to create a law or to do legislation to do this seems to me is an attempt to legislate poor management practices or legislate a response to poor management practices. So I'm not in favor of that type of legislation. I just think it makes no common sense at all.
Mm-hmm. And we should say that we did have Senator Brock. We talked to him earlier today about that. He could not be with us during this hour. He was citing some studies that say there's such a loss of productivity if it's 10 minutes a day and you start multiplying that out by the number of state employees. We're talking, as he put it, you know, millions and millions of dollars. On the other hand, he made the case also that it could just be a few bad apples. So what is an employer to do, Kurt Kaufman?
Well, it's interesting that this really isn't about productivity. It's about control. And the human side of any organization is a challenge because we as human beings are messy. You know, we do have emotions and egos and all of that stuff we bring to work with us, but many times we try to wall people in to get rid of that human messiness. And what we end up doing is we make policy based upon bad practice. And as he said himself, a few bad apples. So now we're going to cast a net over the whole group. And those people who are not the few of the bad apples are going to look up going, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And the confusion is going to be there.
Mm-hmm. As I understand, there have been some studies in recent years. I saw one that was done maybe about 4 years ago, and it said that we're talking the private sector here, that 47% of employers at that point were reviewing their employees' email on the company computer. 63% were keeping tabs on internet use. Now, would you say that that's good management practice? Is that one way to get at it?
No, and it's actually decreasing from what it was then, mm-hmm. in terms of organizations monitoring.
And what does that tell you, that if they're monitoring less?
It tells me that they actually put in a control mechanism that actually created greater levels of distrust and actually lower productivity. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in today's environment, like it or not, the employer needs the employee worse than the other way around. And if we're going to want to attract and retain talented, productive people, let's not manage them like we did in the 50s, which was about their hands. Let's manage them about where their talents are, in their head and their heart.
1-877-962-9862 is our number if you want to join the conversation. We're talking about computers at work, whether you're in the public or the private sector, and the internet access. Some might call it slacktivity, where people may be using the internet to go online for their own personal purposes. Does that take away from their productivity overall in the workplace? There is a bill in the state legislature right now that would limit the state employees' access to the internet. 1-877-962-9862 is the number. Doug is with us from Pittsburgh. Hi there, Doug.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. I understand you're a state employee.
I am a state employee, and I'm also an IT professional.
Okay. And what's your take about this bill in the legislature?
Well, I guess you have to see the internet as a tool. It's a resource for state employees, and it can be a benefit or it can be a detriment, depending on how it's used. I think you have to ask yourself, as a whole, does the state and the employees of the state, do they benefit from access to the internet, and do they see increased productivity in the things that they use the internet for, or do they see decreased productivity? And it sounds as though the senator believes that, you know, the internet is a time waster and a tool that decreases productivity, when I think that overwhelmingly people who use the internet day in and day out for their job, they see increased productivity and have access to information that otherwise would be much more laborious and difficult for them to get access to.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there times, though, has it been your experience, have you yourself or people you may have, if you're an IT professional, maybe those you've seen around you in the workplace, when you know that they're going to websites that have nothing to do with their job?
Yes, I agree that that's always a problem, but I think you also have to ask, if you've got an employee who is finding ways on the internet to waste their time and find diversions, if you took the internet away, what would they be doing? Mm-hmm. Is it really a problem that results around access to the internet, or is it a problem that comes from an employee who is really not making good use of their time and not being managed effectively?
Mm-hmm. David Russo, what would you say to that?
Well, I think he has a great point, and that is this is a management issue. If the employee, whoever he or she is not engaged in their work, feels distrusted, feels unrecognized and undervalued, they're going to find a way to to disengage, and the internet is just one of the many ways. It's no different, and we're in the middle of the ACC tournament. It's no different than folks who are disengaged spending inordinate amounts of time talking about the games that are going to be, the games that were, et cetera, and passing that off as social chat when in fact that could be as great or greater a time waster or other types of things. You know, it's always been amazing to me that some of the employees in companies that are seen as the biggest time wasters, for some reason, when they go out in their communities, they're the ones who lead school groups or lead the community, even run for public office and are great public servants because they are being engaged in those processes, where in the workplace they're not being engaged. If you engage your employees, treat them like adults, supervise what they do and what they can do, I don't think things like internet access has much of an impact at all. And the 20% of the people who are going to abuse that privilege, that opportunity, are the 20% of the people that you need to get rid of anyway.
So would you say that should be grounds for getting rid of somebody, if you realize that they're gold-bricking on state time or on the employer's time? Is that grounds for letting somebody go?
I think it's grounds for an aggressive performance management interaction. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would say grounds for letting somebody go in a broad sweep, but I certainly would be something that an organization should look at.
Okay. Well, Doug, in Pittsburgh, if you're still there,
yes.
Yeah. So, what would you recommend be done?
Well, I think effective monitoring of what employees do with their time is beneficial. I don't know if you have to micromanage it, but I think you should have a broad sense of what people are doing, how they're making use of a tool like the internet, and a sense of whether it's a benefit or whether it's a problem. And if you don't understand that as a manager or a director in an organization, then you need to become more familiar with what you can do to understand how employees make use of their time and make use of the internet. And I do agree that there are tools that can be used, usually more at a network level, at a gateway level, that can give some information and allow people to see how things are being done. But I think it's very difficult to take that and say, oh, this person's access to this specific site was or was not related to their job. It's very, very difficult to get down to that fine level of detail.
But if there is that monitor, if monitoring is allowed, and it sounds like, Doug, you're saying, okay, that the state could do that monitoring of the state employees, and it can right now, as I understand it, because they are state computers, that it's not a Big Brother issue for you. You don't have qualms about that. But can that, if there is some monitoring going on, I mean, can that then be brought to bear about whether that employee should continue to work for the state? Can there be selective enforcement of it?
I don't think that in and of itself is going to build a case for taking action against an employee. I think it's just a general indicator of how people use their time. And I think if you're going to, you know, pursue someone for, you know, how they do their job or for, you know, how they spend their time, I think you need to look at it in other ways other than what they're doing while they're using the internet.
Okay. Well, Doug, thanks for taking time from your day to talk with us today.
Thank you very much.
Okay. 1-877-962-9862 is our number. We're talking about computer access in the workplace and worker productivity. Patrick is with us now from Greenville. Hi, Patrick.
Hey.
Hi. Did you have a question for our guests or comment?
Yes. I feel like I have some experience in this area that's being discussed today.
Mm-hmm.
My wife works in an office, and they have computers, and they had to ban internet usage in that office because of employees using it for personal reasons. And in my line of work, I go in many different offices. So I don't work in one office, but in my line of work, I'm in many different offices throughout the course of the day. And I have seen it. And I heard a gentleman a little while ago make a statement, it's not about productivity, it's about control.
Mm.
But I would come at that from a different angle. If I was an employer and I was paying somebody to work, if I was paying them $15 an hour, for example, and then they were spending 45 minutes a day on the internet in non-work-related activity, then that's going to definitely affect the bottom line, and it is a productivity issue.
Kurt Kaufman, was it you who made that point earlier?
Yeah.
Okay,
Kurt. And I think, frankly, employees should be evaluated based upon how well they're reaching the outcomes of the job they're in, mm-hmm. not necessarily the middle pieces. And you mentioned about firing someone for abuse. Really, someone should be let go if they're not meeting the outcomes of that job.
But if they're working, if they're on the internet doing personal stuff, 45 minutes out of an 8-hour workday, then they're not producing as they should.
Yes, and that should really be the focus. And I think it comes down to, you know, managers, you know, great managers monitor those outcomes. They get really close to their people. You know, they believe in talking with people who are having problems versus talking about them. And the control issue is, frankly, a management technique of days gone by and is not one that will work today.
So and I realize that every office setting may be different. I know where my wife works, for example. I think they're very progressive. I mean, the employees are not closely monitored. They have a certain job to do, and they're expected to get a certain amount of work done during the course of the day, and they don't have anybody breathing over their neck, so to speak. But when they put in the internet a couple years ago, then and my wife saw this, she would come home and tell me about it, how her coworkers were not producing as they used to.
So it was not the case then, Patrick. You're making the case that they may not have gotten their work done 45 minutes faster and then used the 45 minutes of internet time for themselves. You're saying it cut into their productivity.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, my wife is she has several employees under her, and she saw it. I mean, she saw it from a production level.
Okay.
When the internet was made of, when you got an employee who has a computer in front of them and they have internet access and they don't have anybody to sit there and watch them, unfortunately, you got a lot of people who are going to click on to various websites and do whatever they do, and that's on work time, which isn't right, but people do it.
Well, Patrick, I want to thank you for your call.
Thank you.
We are talking about productivity in the workplace, whether computer access to the internet on computers is counterproductive, nonproductive, or productive for what people put out as their work. We are talking with Kurt Kaufman, who is with the Gallup organization, and David Russo has been with us as well. He is with PeopleClick in Raleigh. And I want to thank you, David Russo, for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Okay. 1-877-962-9862 is our number if you'd like to join the conversation. Jennifer's in Chapel Hill. Hi there, Jennifer.
Hi. I completely agree with the gentleman who believes you have to look at the outcomes of the work as opposed to the specific things that people are doing during the day. The world has changed where people have to do some personal things on work time because that's the way the world works. Banks are open from 9 to 5. People are working from 9 to 5. And the lawmaker said he didn't want people trading stocks on the internet. Well, fine, he'll take the internet access away, and they'll call their broker instead of doing it on their computer. And if they cut off calls to the broker on the work phone, then they'll call them on the cell phone. And on the flip side, I occasionally do personal things on my work computer, but I'm always doing work things on my home computer as well. My husband is a state employee, and I cannot tell you how many hours he spends on the weekends and at nights doing work for the state on our home bandwidth, on our home computer, and nobody's watching that. Nobody's reimbursing him for that. And I'm frankly appalled that this lawmaker wants to waste my tax dollars writing such a ridiculous law.
Mm-hmm. I think you raised the issue of how computers in the workplace, maybe in the past 15, 20 years, have changed the playing field in that a lot of us do take work home. I know I do. And do a lot of work on what, I guess, in the old days would have been considered my own time. And a lot of people do. But on the other hand, from an employer's point of view, and I'm talking in private enterprise as well as in the state government, a case is made sometimes that people have always slacked off to some extent at work, you know, chatting, maybe making phone calls on personal phone calls on company time. But with computers, you can do it with a little more stealth. I'm not sure I really want to use the word stealth, but you really aren't caught as easily as you might have been in the old days, Jennifer. Do you think there's something
to
that, too?
Well, I think you're actually using the argument that it is easier to catch them now, and that's why he has his statistics of people spending 10 minutes a day on the Internet. Well, big deal. In the past, people spent 10 minutes hanging over the water cooler. Nobody can be productive 100% of the time, 8 hours a day. But if in the end they achieve the objectives that were set for them by their management, who cares if they did it at 7 in the morning at home or at 4 in the afternoon in the office? As long as it got done, that's what counts.
Mm-hmm. Kurt Kaufman?
Well, it is amazing that, it is about, am I doing my job? And the boundaries between work and home are, not very thick. They're pretty thin. And if someone's achieving excellence within their role, they're a high performer, should we be looking at those people by what we don't want them doing? Or do we want to focus on what we want more of from that person? And by the way, a Gallup poll shows that 60% of employees last year received no recognition at work.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, for those of us who've been in the workplace for a number of years, there are people who slack off. And, I think most of us could point to at least one experience where, they were pulling the weight for someone else. And should that person not be weeded out if in fact, the way they are slacking off is, spending.
Right, but that's a management problem. And so this lawmaker is trying to treat the symptom, which is the internet, and not the disease, which is lack of productivity.
Exactly.
Lack of productivity should be addressed in a different way.
I guess
the internet is an easy target for him to hone in on because you can measure that with clicks, and you can say, oh, the person spent this amount of time and that amount of time. But that doesn't solve the problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Jennifer, thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
1-877-962-9862 is the number. We're talking today about diversions in the workplace, in particular from our computers, those computers that were brought into the workplace to make us more productive. Remember that? Well, there are some who suggest that perhaps the diversions of the internet may be making people less productive. Some suggest even that the internet might be counterproductive. We welcome your calls. Our number is 1-877-962-9862. 1-877-962-9862. And we'll be talking in just a moment about another diversion, March Madness, on The State of Things. This is The State of Things. I'm Melinda Pencava, and we're talking this hour about how we spend our time, our computer time, at work, being productive and being distracted. We're curious about how you view the use of computers at work, because there's a bill in the state legislature right now to limit the access that state employees can have to the internet at work. 1-877-962-9862. The question is, would you waste less work time if you had limited access to the internet instead of unlimited access? With us this hour is Kurt Kaufman, who is global practice leader for the Gallup organization. And joining us on the line right now is Melissa in Raleigh. Hi there, Melissa.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to point out that a lot of it, I think, has to do with the caliber of the person that is hired. I have an example where I hired two people that started within a week of each other, and we need the internet to do our daily work, so limited access probably wouldn't help us very much.
And you're in the private sector, I take it?
Yes.
Okay.
And I actually had to let one of these employees go yesterday because she was spending too much time on the internet and emailing her friends to learn her job. And the other person I hired, her priority was learning her job first, and then, if she had free time or during a break, she would, be on the internet briefly maybe for personal things. So I think it's more somebody having the priorities straight.
How was it that you figured out who was using the internet more and who was using it less?
I observed it myself. I mean, the person who I let go wasn't trying to hide it even. It was very strange.
Yeah. Kurt Kaufman, any comment to that?
Well, again, I think it goes back to, the focus was that she wasn't getting her job done. And the reasons behind that could be many. I always find it interesting that managers will tell me that they usually know within 1 week if a person is going to be a good fit for the role that we hire them to, but they also go on to say it takes 10 years to deal with that person that isn't a good fit for the role. And I think great managers deal with those issues just like you did. The performance is not there. That's what I look for in a manager or look for in an associate. And if it's not there, I take action. And it's not out of spite. It's actually caring about the person.
And Melissa, how long did it take you to realize this person was not going to be a fit?
She was probably with us about 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I tried to get it done before the first 90 days was up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for your call and good luck.
Thank you.
1-877-962-9862 is our number. 1-877-962-9862. And joining us right now on the line from Chicago is John Challenger. He is CEO of Challenger Gray and Christmas, Inc. His company has conducted national surveys on lost productivity during the presidential election, the Super Bowl, and yes, during the NCAA tournament, and he's joining us now on the line from Chicago. Hi there, John Challenger.
Nice to be here with you.
Hi. Well, you have looked at how productivity may be affected in the workplace during March Madness, which is underway right now, the NCAA basketball tournament. What are you finding?
Well, conservatively, we've found that the impact on the bottom lines of American companies could reach over $889 million during the 16 business days of the tournament.
Yeah. Now, how do you figure that? What are part of the calculations there?
Well, one company estimated that college hoops fans would spend about 90 minutes per week on college basketball websites during March Madness. So we took a look at the total number of people the NCAA has said consider themselves to be big college basketball fans. That's 22.9 million people. So about 62% of those people are working today in the population. If you then take their average wage and multiply that out, you get $55.6 million a day for 16 business days, people probably turning to their computer and doing something other than work.
I wonder if you compared perhaps the productivity if a person had a television on in the workplace, which is not unheard of here in ACC country during these tournaments, had a television on in the workplace and was continuing to work on their computer on other issues, or if they had the computer screen devoted to that, or could they split screen at split window on their computers?
Well, we didn't. It's an interesting question. We didn't quite do that, but one of the things we found is that this year there is new technology that has made it easier for people to watch their games. There are three new websites that are providing real-time internet broadcasts through the round of 16. That means, and what's so interesting about this NCAA is many of these games do take place during the workday while people are at their desks. They can now turn their computer monitor to the side, turn on the streaming video, and really, you know, all day be watching a live broadcast.
Of course, if you're watching this at your desk and you're trying to avoid the stares of your manager, would you be having the volume up as you listen to that game?
Well, I think
that's a pretty big giveaway, huh?
Maybe you turn on the line on the bottom, you know, that you could actually read what was going on, or maybe you just watch it. Certainly the volume would have to be on low.
Right, right. So how do you deal with computer games and personal internet usage and, watching the NCAA tournament in your office, in your office?
Well, we actually do give people access to the internet because we use it so extensively. And you know, our argument actually is it is very costly. There's a lot of good and bad that's come with the internet access to really the world that we get through the internet. And yet, we'd suggest that for employers, that $889 million is a good buy.
How? Because you know, $889 million sounds like a pretty steep price tag. What are you getting for that?
Today, people come from so many different places. They work part-time at companies. They're shorter tenured. People don't know each other as well as they used to. So if you can find, as an employer, something that people can talk about other than, say, the latest business transaction, you can create the kind of chemistry and morale that's so essential to actually creating better productivity in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go to the phones right now. And joining us right now, we have Janet and Carrie. Hi there, Janet.
Hi.
Hi. Did you have a comment?
Yeah, I did. I think I wanted to go back to the issue with the state employees. And I feel how do you measure productivity of people who don't make a profit? And for that reason, to say, well, you know, if I spend 45 minutes a day on the Internet, I still get my work done, I don't think that's so measurable. You know, and if you're in a competitive capitalist situation and your company goes out of business or your job gets shipped to China, but when you're a state employee, I don't see how that's as measurable. And then secondly, the whole issue, I mean, even talking about video games for state employees, I mean, if you substitute the word television for Internet, would you permit people to watch TV at work and be paid for that?
Well, let's put that to John Challenger or Kurt Kaufman.
You know, what we're seeing is that, you know, the world has changed. You've got shopping, information, gambling, games, email, blogs. We give people access to these sorts of things when we open up the Internet on people's desks. And so the question, I think, for employers is to find a measured response. If you feel that you have employees who are taking advantage of that, and you can go to your network administrator and you can find out, you know, who is misusing the Internet, if you give people a clear set of tasks that they need to accomplish, each person, say, in a department expected to do to reach those kinds of goals, you can then begin to treat people more like adults and say to them, we know you're not just working here 9 to 5. You work on weekends. You work while you're traveling. You take your cell phones and your computers with you. You've got to get your tasks done. In fact, we'd like to see you outperform, and if so, we'll pay you more. But we're going to treat you like an adult and also give you access really to your own time. That might mean the Internet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Janet?
Well, I understand what he's saying, but even that you have to say that you have to manage people kind of insinuates that they can't manage themselves at all, which really isn't treating them like an adult, is it?
Well, I think you, each person is different, aren't they? I mean, you have certain people as a manager that you know you have to be very directive towards. You have to give them a very clear set of tasks. You have to keep them on task and remind them. And there are other, and those people thrive in that kind of environment. Other people need more autonomy. If you say to them, I know I can trust you to do this job and to do it well, that's what makes them tick. And if you can manage more complexly that, fit your management style to that person, you're going to be you're going to create much better productivity.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Janet, thank you for your call.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Kurt Kaufman?
Well, I believe that, you know, so many times we take the position that, you know, we're automatically supposed to trust people in leadership positions, but then they take actions that actually communicate that they don't trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, there's study after study that, you know, feeling a sense of pride and trust in the organization you work for is probably one of the most significant drivers of productivity.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's interesting in the conversation so far, because the jumping off point for this had been a proposal in the state Senate to limit state employees' Internet access, that we haven't really been discussing whether it's the work-related access to the Internet, whether somebody who, say, works in the Department of Transportation needs to go online and see what's being done in other states by accessing the Internet. But we've jumped right away to the presumption that this is about employees' non-work-related access to the Internet. And there are lots of justifications folks have been giving for that. Is that just a jumping-off point? I mean, is that just presumed that people have a right to spend their work hours, some portion of their work hours, doing non-work-related things?
Well, they always have. No question that we've come a long way from the days where maybe a few employers would let people, say, have a radio on their desk with the volume turned down so that it didn't disturb anybody. To today's environment where everybody or many people, certainly in an office, you know, might very well have the Internet on their desk with all the access it gives. You know, as we've been saying, there are just such positives in terms of the productivity, the changes that have happened in the workplace over the last decade in terms of what people can do and what we expect of them, both at work and at home. It's as if the lines between home and work have completely blurred and changed. We're now doing things in our personal lives at work, and we're also working all the time when we're no longer, you know, 9 to 5, you know, in our office from Monday to Friday.
Mm-hmm. But there are probably instances of people who do not take their work home. So what about them? Is that fair to those who do take their work home and kind of say, well, it equals out for me because I'm working 3 hours at night and, you know, I took maybe 10 minutes at work today to do this private stuff on the Internet. But what about those who don't take their work home at all and just are working the 9 to 5, that's all they do? Do they have a right to 15 minutes of Internet access?
Well, I think so. I mean, and that's one of the things that's changing is pay is changing also. So as more and more companies put in systems that measure how people do on their tasks and how they achieve against those tasks, then the people who do better get paid more. So it is a system that we're moving from where people used to have a boss over their shoulders, measuring their time, making sure that they were at their desk doing their work, to a system, and in many ways, much more parent-child, to a system where people are responsible for their work and they're paid based on the output of work that they do and the quality of the work that they do. And that has great ramifications for eliminating discrimination because it's going to be then who does the best and most work that receive the most benefits.
Okay, let's go to Ed in Clarksville, Virginia. Hi there, Ed.
Yes, hi. I had a comment that I wanted to add my 2 cents worth. The evaluation of the Internet use should be differentiated between job types. Those that are quota versus professional problem solver types, I can understand how folks that are in quota type jobs, they're expected to get so much done. That certainly could be a problem. But in professional problem solver jobs where maybe one is paid to solve a problem and they get that problem solved within a specific period of time, then they've got extra time to wait for the next problem, I don't see a problem with
there's so many problems
the
there, Ed.
Yeah, I don't either.
Problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't either.
Right, right. What about the others, Ed?
Pardon?
And what about those who are not solving the problem? What about those who are not solving the problems?
Well, I would assume that we're talking about quota-type jobs, mm-hmm. and then I'd certainly see a conflict in productivity. They're not getting. They're supposed to be being paid to maybe answer telephone or do telephone solicitation and using the computer to do that, and they're expected to meet a quota. Well, you know, getting on the Internet is going to certainly interfere with that. Mm-hmm. However, conversely, the professional that is using the Internet to solve some big problem and they finally come to the conclusion of what the answer is, the extra time is of no consequence, and they wait for the next problem.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call, Ed. And let's have time for one more call. Kurt is in Salisbury. Hi, Kurt.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Do you have a quick question or a quick comment?
Yeah, my quick comment is in regards to a union environment. I used to work in management for a union environment, and the state's proposal, I think it's a good one. It's just a shame that we've got to this point. My comment is the fact that I think the state is doing is they're trying to treat people fairly and level the playing field. And if they don't do this, what they do is open themselves up for lawsuits. So unfortunately, you've got to treat everybody the same. You've got to treat them fairly.
And when you say lawsuits, you mean?
Well, any kind of lawsuits for, you know, discrimination in regards to taking action against somebody in a negative way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, Kurt, thank you for your comment.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. And thank you to John Challenger, who has been with us. He is CEO of Challenger, Gray & Christmas, Inc. of Chicago. Kurt Kaufman is the global practice leader for the Gallup Organization and co-author of the book Follow This Path, How the World's Greatest Organizations Drive Growth by Unleashing Human Potential. And for today, that is the state of things. Thank you for listening. If you have a comment about the program, you can send us an email here at sot@wunc.org. Support for The State of Things comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I'm Melinda Penkava.